listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
And earlier in the show, Matt, I inducted Teddy Ginn Jr. into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. And I am a big Teddy Ginn Jr. fan because I remember going over on those Friday afternoons and watching him just run in the Senate League games.
How could you not love watching Teddy Ginn
run? Oh, he could run, yeah. Yeah, of course, and they had the great track team over there.
Yes, they did.
They were nationally renowned over there, the Ted Ginn Sr. Actually, I think that's how Ted Ginn Sr. really got involved in everything, was with the track,
yes.
And then the football, you know, followed hand in hand. But news, I'm building on the Ted Ginn Jr. induction. He's getting fitted for his gold jacket anyway. The other thing is that Jacoby Jones has been cut,
yes,
by the Baltimore Ravens.
Yes.
Now, there's a return guy, too. Remember, in the game against San Francisco that Teddy Ginn played in.
Yes.
In that Super Bowl,
Jones. 108-yard return.
Right.
NFL record. Super Bowl record.
He had a great game that
Yes,
game.
He did.
And he had a couple of great returns against the Browns while he was there. Now, again, he falls into the Ginn category because he is also a receiver. Now, you mentioned a great point about Teddy Ginn Jr. You said, you know, he's a straight-line receiver,
correct,
speed guy.
Yes.
Not a great route runner. What about Jones?
I think Jones is a little bit more shifty than Ted Ginn. You got to figure the Baltimore Ravens have had Torrey Smith be that deep ball,
right,
threat for so long that Jacoby Jones had not been. So he may run those intermediate routes a little bit better, but a significant fall-off because you thought, you know, as we talked about this opportunity is, you know, I feel he's a superior receiver to Ted Ginn because he can run a little bit more of the routes, but the Baltimore Ravens this past season, you know, only 9 catches. So his solo role, you know, with the Baltimore Ravens for the most part was as a decoy in that offense,
right,
but as a returner.
Well, the other thing is they had some young guys come out and play very well. That kid Aiken had a good year for them.
Yes, he did.
Had a great game against the Browns in the last game of the regular season and had a good playoff game against New England.
Yes, he did.
You know, that kid had a great game. So they had some people figure in. Anyway, there's another name out there, Jacoby Jones, who definitely is a very, very strong returner, big physical returner. You know, kind of like when Cribbs earlier in his career, when he would bust through you.
And Jones plays with an attitude.
Yeah, he does.
You know, so I like that.
It's time for upon further review.
After further
review. And Jason Gibbs joins the show right now, verbally. Hi, Jason.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Good, man.
After further review.
Question number one today on this Wednesday. If one of the top three wide receivers are gone by the time the Browns draft at number 12, if you were Ray Farmer, would you look at another position if wide receiver was number one on your list? Or would you go with the number 4 wide receiver available?
Oh, you're saying all three are gone.
All
by 12.
Three are gone. So now you're down potentially to the 4th best receiver, and you're on the clock at 12.
Yes, I would absolutely go in a different direction.
I would too.
And the reason why, because I'm sure that number 4 guy, if you look at a lot of mock drafts, may actually be available at 19 as well. So you can go to, you know, that number 2 position on your board, as we've heard, either pass rusher. I think Eric Armstead, that Oregon defensive end slash outside linebacker, is rumored as a top defensive pass rusher. But also, too, that run stopper. If we can find that run stopper in this draft at 12, I think he'd be a significant and immediate upgrade.
Let me hasten to point out, though, Jason Gibbs, that if we continue, you know, here's what I'm not for, and I agree with Matt. I would not push the pick at number 12 if you're way down as far as depth and talent with the wide receiver and the 3 best ones are gone and you're not so sure the 4th one merits the 12th pick overall in the draft. But I would hasten to point out, don't get into that fog once again where you and I, Jason, on our 4th pizza on the last day of the draft and the 7th round is coming up and we go, hey, remember, you can get a receiver anytime.
I know the fog very well.
Yeah,
so I
because
exactly
I think that,
where you're
you know
from.
We were in that fog last year,
yes,
and the next thing we were in the parking lot with no receiver.
After further review.
Question number 2 today, guys. Man, do I remember that last year.
They'll pick one next. Don't worry about it.
I was going to say, I'm still waiting. You're the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Are you drafting Jameis Winston number 1?
You know, I'll kind of coincide with what TJ Reeve said. I think right now the answer would be yes. But there's the evaluation process of the off-the-field issues, which we know Mariota will test extremely well. And Marcus Mariota has his troubles. But I think also it's yet to be determined because how these guys can go and continue their development as professional quarterbacks on their pro days. You know, we saw them in Indy, but we're going to see all of them again at their pro days in probably anywhere from 2 to 3 weeks from now. So I would be determining a lot on that, but as of now, I would say yes.
Okay, aside from taking the crab cakes or shrimp or whatever he did in the lunch hall on campus, aside from all of that stuff, and there's some stuff that was really has the potential of being ugly, okay? But football-wise, technically, what troubles you about Winston?
I think for
he's got a big windup, doesn't he?
He's got a big windup, and also, too, I don't like how unathletic he looks. And I thought, you look at Mariota running a 4.2 and Winston runs a 4.97. You see, the game is – you still have to throw from the pocket, but you also have to be able to extend the play, and I just feel like a big, slow – you know, he doesn't remind me of Roethlisberger. He's not that big and strong yet. He may be a little bit more fragile than a lot of people might think.
Here's the other thing that troubled me about him. When things went sour in the game against Oregon in the semifinal out in the Rose Bowl, I didn't like the way he behaved.
His attitude.
I mean, I thought he became uncontrollable.
Yep.
And I think he became uncoachable.
Yep.
And I think he became disrespectful.
Yep.
Now, some people could say, hey, listen, I like that about him because he had fire. But I thought he became a pain in the you-know-what,
yeah.
And I think he was like that. I didn't like the night he came on the field when he was suspended and he was fully
like
in uniform.
Either. I didn't like that either.
So he's got
a spoiled little brat.
Yeah, he's got all kinds of red flags on him. But it looks as though a lot of people think that they are going to take him, Jason.
Yes, they are.
After further review.
Question number three, guys. Indians started full squad spring training yesterday. If you were a baseball team, would you rather train in Arizona or Florida? I'll change it up here.
Yeah.
If you were a fan, would you rather go to Arizona to watch spring training or Florida to watch spring training?
Well, Florida right now doesn't have the best taste in my mouth because I was trapped out at sea not too far from that state. So that being said, I'll go with Arizona. But again, you're gonna fly 3+ hours either, or I'll say two and a half.
He's talking as a fan.
Right, as a fan. So you're gonna fly 2.5 hours to watch either. It's either you're going to deal with the humidity or you're going to deal with the dry heat. So, and that being said, I think I'd probably want to go to the shortest distance as a fan, which would probably be my cheapest flight, which would be down to Florida.
I like Arizona, and I've had the taste of both. I remember the Indians way back when I first came to Cleveland trained in Tucson at High Corbett Field.
Oh, yes.
And I really enjoyed that. And the weather was fantastic every day.
Not too hot?
It was the same. No, well, you know, it was a dry heat.
Sure.
You know how they always say that?
Yes.
It's a dry heat. And when we went down to Winter Haven and when I ate at Waffle House for all three meals down there, I really got a little bit worn out on that. But the weather was...
You had to deal with the rain down in Tampa?
Yeah.
In the Winter Haven area?
And not only that, but I mean, you know, it was cold down there sometimes. It wasn't a guarantee that you were going to get good weather as a fan. So I would take Arizona, Jason.
Fair enough.
After further review.
Question number four today, guys. 35 years ago, the Miracle on Ice happened. USA beating Russia in the Winter Olympics in Lake Placid.
Right.
If you could go back in time and attend one event in sports history, what event would you attend?
A lot of Cleveland fans might not like this, but I grew up a Michael Jordan fan, and so a Chicago Bulls fan. I'd have to say Michael Jordan's last shot, 1998, versus the Utah Jazz with 10 seconds remaining to win his sixth championship.
Well, I was in the Coliseum the day he hit the shot.
Elo shot.
Yeah, incidentally, it was the day of my wife, well, my future wife at the time. We were like 2 weeks away from getting married, and it was the day of her bridal shower, and she said to me, you have to come at least and say thank you for the gift giving. And I went, I think it was game five. It was a best of five.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's game five. I could lose my job.
Yeah, if you're
okay?
not there.
And she said, you really have to come out and you have to say thank you. So I said, all right, I'll say thank you. And then I got to get to the Coliseum. So I went to the shower. I said thank you. And then I got in my car and I listened to Joe Tate, Jason, call that game until I could get there. And it was the most riveting radio call I ever – that game was phenomenal.
Yes, it was.
Now, I want to go back. I would want to be at that game against the Russians. And I'll tell you where I was. I was in St. Cloud, Minnesota, doing radio. It was my first job out of Boston University. And I picked up the game on a transistor radio that I had on my windowsill. And it was a Canadian radio station doing the game live.
Yeah, because you couldn't see on TV.
No, it wasn't
on
live.
It was on tape delay.
Yeah, it came on.
So you had to be there or hear it.
I heard it, and then I would have loved to have been there. I want to tell you, because in college, I did the Boston University hockey games on the radio, and I remember Jim Craig, Mike Ruzioni, Jack O'Callaghan, Dave Silk all played at BU.
Yes. Wow, that's cool.
Yeah. Good stories, didn't you think?
There were a couple guys from Bowling Green that were on that team, too.
That's right. Ken Morrow, right?
Yes.
Who was the other guy, Jason? It wasn't Pavlich or anything. It wasn't it.
Because
most of them were from the University of Minnesota or Wisconsin after that. But remember, Ken Morrow left there and then went and joined the Islanders and won the Stanley Cup a couple of months after that.
Exactly.
I think he's the only player to have done that.
Yeah, there weren't a lot of success stories after that.
No, that's true. Yeah, you're right.
I don't think there needed to be.
No, that's
based
right.
Based on what they did.
Yeah.
After further review.
All right, guys, final question today. In honor of Wilhelm, where would you rather be stranded? At the sea or at an airport? Now, you can't leave the airport.
Yeah.
You're already going through security.
Okay.
Would you rather be stranded at the airport or stranded at sea?
Go ahead. Now, you lived it, so this will be the definitive answer.
I lived it, and I would still say I would rather be stranded at an airport. And the reason why, you can get alcohol at both. But the one thing that you can do is you can have solid ground below your feet, and you can walk from terminal to terminal to terminal.
Right.
I don't know. And also, too, you're not as claustrophobic as you are in the small rooms at sea.
I am totally with you. I am fascinated by your story. I just think, and then you show me the pictures of the Coast Guard bringing you in.
Yes.
I mean, that is that's a National Geographic special.
It is.
I would definitely be the airport. I mean, and we have been stranded at airports, but it would definitely be the airport. No question about it.
Gibbs?
You know what? I'm going on my first cruise at the end of the month. And
how do you feel about it now?
I told the lady, there's a group of her family. There's 9 of us that are going.
Oh.
And I said, I've just heard horror stories. I don't want to go. And plus, you know, if you want to have a couple libations, I heard it costs an arm and a leg. Well, she naturally finds one that is all inclusive.
Well.
So, you know, at that point, if you got all you can eat, if you got all you can drink, there's a casino, there's 8 different restaurants.
Right.
I don't know. I might be willing to give the boat a shot. I've been stranded in an airport before, and it clearly wasn't any fun.
No.
Just make sure you're in international waters so you can guarantee that casino's open, because we actually had to deviate from where we were bobbing, close to the channel, 6 miles back towards Mexico to give a guarantee that we could get into international water so they could open the casino for us.
Incidentally, news just in that while you were stranded at sea, Harbaugh really hit on some recruits.
Yeah, right? You know, Irvin was chomping at the bit.
Did they try to get him off the plane?
They did. Essentially, yes, they tried to get not only Irvin off, but come to find out, one of Urban's great friends was a cancer survivor, was actually missing some stem cell treatments that he needed to start on Monday. So it was about getting Urban himself and also, too, a close friend that he invited on the boat.
Wow.
That was something that I had been told. But they tried to tug us in. They tried to, tender us in, where they bring another boat on and pass passengers to a smaller boat. They tried everything, but the Coast Guard nixed all of it.
Yeah. Amazing.
Yes.
All right. Good segment, Jason.
Thank you, guys.
Okay, we take a break and come back and
take a quick break. We'll hit the mailbag before we hit it.
Oh, all right, great.
Close it out.
All right, we continue on. Not that much longer, but anyway, we've got 15 good minutes.
Yes, we do.
Coming up next on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.